Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Cannes International Film Festival. I'm with Luis Ortega, director of El Angel, screening here in the Uncertain Regard section. So, Luis, where does this story come from? Crime, comedy, what's the idea behind it?
And mostly films about young criminals. You know, they were really appealing to me when I was a kid. So I've always was attracted to this world of being like an outlaw, and I tried hard at it when I was a teenager and like a young kid. My friends would, you know, steal blockbusters, you know, with fake guns and take all the movies and the computers or break into houses. And that was when I was like 20, 21. But when I was younger, I lived in Miami and had this friend in school that his mother used to take us to steal things in like she would wait outside and we would break in houses and then she was an outlaw and she had all these dollars under her bed and she would take us places to steal. And she had this thing that when she walked in, one of the first cell phones, when she walked in, the alarm went off in the places. So then we walked out. She would make us steal a lot of things, and then we walked out together. The alarm would go off, and she would have that trick. She had a lot of money because, well, she had this special activity. And we would just do it for just to feel the adrenaline. And she was very sexual with us. You know, she was very... I was 10 years old. And she was very sexual and, like, intense with her son and with me. And we would all sleep in the same bed. And that influenced... That kind of left a mark on... I thought it was normal when I was living it. And then when I grew up a little, I looked back and I said, that wasn't so normal. When you're a kid to live that experience. So I wanted to tell that experience, I mean, of when I was young, and follow the tradition of these films that have educated me all along. Then I read the book of this real guy, this real story in Argentina of this young, beautiful murderer. He was 19 years old, and he looked like Marilyn Monroe. And everybody was shocked because there was this criminologist called Lombrosio. I think he's Italian. And he had this theory that criminals were ugly and dark-skinned, big ears, big nose. And society was sure of that. So when this really beautiful kid came out that killed so many people, everybody was shocked that someone beautiful could be evil, which is a stupid... logic, but still nowadays that's how it works. I mean, the police will always stop a dark-skinned person and like let the little blonde guy go by, even if he has two guns in his pocket. So all these things, my experience as a kid wanting to be an outlaw, and these movies, and this real story that happened in Argentina in 71. And Jean Genet's books about being a thief and as a kid, and all this mixed up, just ended in this need to tell the story. But it's not a biopic, it's very freely inspired.
Did you come in contact with Carlos Robledo Puch, the real person who you based the film on? And what do you think about the fact that he said that he wanted Quentin Tarantino to direct a film on his life?
He said he wanted also Leonardo DiCaprio to play him, his role. Well, I'm sorry for him that he had to downgrade so much. But we're kind of neighbors. I know what it's about. I think more than an American because I live there and so I'm sorry to let him down, but in a way, I was feeling uncomfortable with the fact of using a real person that's still alive to make a movie and you know, and even probably make some money out of a guy that has lived, gone through so much and has been 50 years in jail. But then when I heard he wanted someone to do star in his film, or DiCaprio or whatever, say, okay, he wants a movie to be done. And on the other hand, when they caught him, and he was a kid, they caught him for one theft. And they said, you better confess. And he confessed everything. Like, if it was a film, like, if he needed to have that recognition for what he had done. So then I said, okay, this was meant to be.
How was his family background? Because, you know, people tend to think that this kind of things and this kind of behavior comes only from people and children and kids there that grew up in a certain type of family where there's lack of cure. But in this case, yes, a normal family, even very careful one. So I was for the real person you based the film on, and is that something that you wanted to explore?
Yeah, I think you're born with this big backpack and you don't know what's inside of it, and you're your own hostage. Is that how you say hostage? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're your own hostage. You don't know why you do what you do. I have lots of brothers raised the same way by the same parents, and we're all very different. So I have a feeling we come with this tendency to you know, it's kind of a mark of fire. There's this famous book called Executioner Song by Norman Mailer that talks about this famous killer called Gary Gilmore, and he says that why they asked them, a lot of people murders, they asked why they killed, and they say, I don't know, I just had to do it. And Gary Gilmore says, this is something I'm bringing from another life, and I'm killing someone I don't know for no reason, and this has to do with karma and with things we can't control. And he's not trying to be innocent. Gary Gilmore asked for the death penalty for himself. He said, I'm guilty, kill me. And he explained it so well of how sometimes you don't know why your actions take place. When they were going to shoot him, and they gave him the death penalty, they said, what are your last words? And he said, just do it. And then Nike got the slogan, from just do it, by his words. And in that book, it explains it really well. It's true, most people that are violent have violent backgrounds, but some just bring it from somewhere else, and we don't know where it comes from.
How did you decide for that ironic approach to the film, for that tone, and how did you keep it?
I didn't want to make a violent film. I didn't want to make a dark film. When I was a kid, I thought death was an invention. I was really tempted to jump out of windows and do things because I really thought death didn't exist. So from that point of view, when you shoot someone, when you're a kid, you're not fully incarnated. Death is very far away. You see how everything is staged, how people act all the time, how society is so fake. You even start doubting if those mountains weren't put there, and those boats weren't put, and this isn't kind of just another script that somebody else wrote, because everything is so false, so artificial. Then you think everything is a trap. So you're trying to call attention to kind of say, okay, is this a joke or what? I mean, is God going to come down and tell me, yeah, this is a joke? I mean, it was all a joke. Now comes real life. Because sometimes all of this is very strange, you know? And for a kid that still hasn't digested the outside world, it's very confusing.
What about the music? What kind of films did you get inspiration from?
One of my favorite films is Badlands from Terrence Malick. It's also based on a true story, but it's so simple and refined and stylish. And, you know, the actor says he looks like, the character says he looks like James Dean. That was a really stylish period, you know. Now everything's ugly. As time goes by, everything is getting more ugly. Buildings, architecture, clothes, cars, streets, everything is ruined. It was really beautiful to film without characters using cell phones. That's so unattractive, so not nice to see. You'd have to film the phone, you know, to see what they're talking about. So the period helped a lot. And then one of the good things about internet is that you can find things you wouldn't have found before. And I found this musician called Moondog. He was a drifter in New York. He lived in the street and he was blind. And he made all these great records. But of course, no one knew him. And I found this music, this instrumental. And I thought it was great for the film. I'm really tired of words, you know, in music. So most of it is Moondog, and the rest is Argentinian rock and roll from 72, going back from that era. We use like some really nice songs.
There's also an Italian song.
There's an Italian, beautiful Italian song.
Manoletta.
Yeah. And there's two songs. My father's a singer. We used two of his songs too. The one he sings in TV. Yeah. My father, I saw a video of my father singing with Marisol, a Spanish actress from that time. And it was just like that. And so I kind of copied that, and he sings my father's song. And then The House of the Rising Sun, the versions. The Spanish version is also sang by my father. He did a special lyric. And, you know, when you're talking about young people and that era, and it's like it's inevitable to kind of take it to a cool place, because when you're young, you're trying to act cool. And particularly this character feels he's in a movie. So, you know, he wants to be the hero. He wants to walk like a movie star, and we trained so much with the actor. He had never acted before, never gone to acting school. We just trained during 6 months, and we were dancing every morning at my house. He would break in my house and steal things, and I would film him robbing my house. We trained so much for him to become a movie star, because the character acts like a movie star. So all this stylish thing was kind of inevitable, and it makes it more appealing. But I didn't want to make darkness look appealing. I try to avoid going in dark places, even though he does kill a lot of people. He does it like Alice in Wonderland, like, you know, not really thinking he's doing bad, which is very different from the real character in real life.
Taking the testicle scene as an example, my feeling is that even when we were talking about, you know, parents, growing up with parents that are, you know, the perfect family is still acting weird, my feeling was that, you know, all these reactions are never, almost never, the ones that we're expecting from him, from a person. So I wanted to know if it's something that you did it like kind of on purpose, like to try and...
Yeah, because he wants to be distinctive. He wants to... He doesn't want to be like everyone else, and he has his own logic, and he's like, okay, if everything is a lie, then why should I react with the logic of the lie? I'll react with my logic. So if I think death doesn't exist, I'm not going to cry, you know? I think that's part of the script, and he says, "Okay, I'm not going to follow the script. Nature is indifferent to my feelings. I'm going to be indifferent to the feelings of nature, and I'm not going to react automatically. Oh, someone dies, you have to cry. Oh, some, you know, your soccer team wins, you have to be happy. There's something inside you that is really never affected, no matter what happens. And that's why he ends up dancing and the police are around him and he's dancing. And that's a statement we wanted to say, like, we're not going to be corrupted. There's a chance, you have a chance of not being corrupted by the outside world. It's very hard, but he achieves it in a way.
And we've been talking to Luis Ortega, director of El Angel, screening at the 71st Festival de Cannes in the Uncertá Regards section. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.